to expand your kingdom, and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Devil does his best, but his best ain't good enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we're coming down the home stretch of the holiday season. I know, but you're the usher. You gotta, you know, get over there and hover over her. She'll do it quicker. So we're coming down the stretch of the holiday season. Amen. And we're out of money and out of energy. A lot of people are. Huh? Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. You still got money and energy? Or, amen. All right. Hallelujah. Turn with me to John's Gospel. A couple weeks ago when I didn't have any voice, I read this passage of Scripture. And I was reading it again this week. And as I was reading it, I was like, oh, I shouldn't stop at the end of chapter 16 because it flows right into chapter 17 of John. Okay, and so I wanted to read that in context. Excuse me, John 16, verse 33. Verse 33 says, and we should pray first. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, I ask you now that you anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Remind me, Jackie, afterwards, when I get done, to talk about the classes we want to do this winter. Okay. Okay. Verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Now, where's our peace come from? Being in him, amen, being one with him. The Apostle Paul in his letters uses, he loves to use that term, in him, being in Messiah, okay? So he says, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, the Greek word for tribulation there is thlipsis, and it means pressure, right? And I told you the idea was the Romans would take a large stone and tie somebody up and gently lay that heavy stone on them, causing them to slowly suffocate. So when Jesus uses that term tribulation, he's talking about this kind of pressure, right? And we have all experienced the pressures of life. Yes. Amen? No matter if it was a traffic ticket or bills coming in faster than the money's coming in, you know, or whether it's been a divorce or a relationship gone bad. We've all experienced that kind of pressure. Amen? But Jesus said, In me, you will have peace. I should have got an amen. Okay. And he goes on to say, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And the Greek word that's used in here for overcome, I showed you this. Nenikeka. And then if we strip it away, we end up with the word Nike. Okay? Which is a brand of shoes, right? It's a brand of sportswear. Why did the owners of Nike come up with this name? Because it comes from that verb, ninenikika, that means to be victorious. Okay? You see Nike and you see their slogan, just win. Remember that one? Just win, baby. Nike was all about being victorious. Jesus is trying to tell us something here when he says, I have overcome the world. Because remember, the whole word, nikeia, I'm not a Greek scholar, means to be victorious. But remember what we said? It's a verb in the perfect sense. Okay? Meaning that the action took place in the past, but the action that took place in the past is continuing now in the present day. Amen? So the victory that Jesus had in overcoming the world, while it was in the past, it's still continuing in our hearts and lives today. Amen? All right. You never know how you're doing on Sunday morning, especially right after Christmas. You got to keep on going here. Verse 1 of chapter 17, we're going to go right into that. How many know that chapters and verses were added much, much later? Okay. Sometime between 1400s, 1500s, I do believe. Okay. So Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Now verse 1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. What's he asking the Father to do? He's telling the Father, it's time. Glorify me. But by glorifying Jesus, Jesus was going to have to die first, right? Be buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and after 3 days would be resurrected by the Father, resurrected in a glorified state. Amen. He would enter the place of paradise in Sheol or hell. He would empty that out. And now no longer do you go into paradise, but you go to be with Jesus. Amen. That's how the Apostle Paul could say, you know, to be separated from this body is to be with the Lord Jesus. Amen. All right. So then he says, as you have given him authority over all flesh, I'm in verse 2, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus the Messiah, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Now, let's stop here a minute. Jesus asked the Father, first he says that he's overcome the world. Then he's asking the Father to glorify his Son. And then he's saying, you've given me authority over all flesh, that I could give eternal life to as many as you have given me. Amen. But then he explains what eternal life is. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus the Messiah, whom you have sent. Now, if I've preached any text more than any other in this church, it's this one. And I want to hammer it home this morning. Because to be an overcomer, in order for Jesus to overcome the world, he had to know the Father. Amen. Amen. I mean, you think about it for a minute. In order for Jesus to trust the Father to allow himself to be nailed on a cross, to die, and for 3 days lay in that tomb, oh, by the way, he was dead, okay? His physical body was dead, okay? But I believe his spirit went into paradise, okay? So, for Jesus to overcome the world, he had a relationship first with the Father. Amen. Amen. And what he's telling us is that in order for us to overcome, we have to experience eternal life. And eternal life is not getting to heaven, but eternal life is knowing the Father, having that relationship with the Father. The word know in Hebrew, da'at, actually carries the idea of intimacy. To know the Father and His Son. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous, they have a 12-step program, do they not? Okay. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Anybody familiar with those steps? But they also talk about, I read it a long time ago, they also talked about a higher power. Yeah. Amen? I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't believe that Alcoholics Anonymous or any drug rehab or any weight loss program can be victorious without knowing the Father and His Son. Amen. They are. That is the power. Being one with them. Being in Him. What the Apostle Paul says all the time through his epistles. Knowing Him. Being in Him. Making Him number one in your life. Putting some effort into that. I mean, we have some great cooks in this church. We're truly blessed. They put a lot of effort into cooking. Okay? I was at the mall the other day. And there was some guys there, and they were dressed in Pittsburgh Steeler garb. They were really putting some effort into root for their team. Now, being a smart aleck I can be, I said, well, that won't be your favorite team this Sunday. Oh, yeah. I said, no, it won't. You got another favorite team this Sunday. He said, one of them started smiling. And he asked me, he said, you're a Browns fan, aren't you? I said, yeah. I said, and you are too right now. Because the Browns have to win and the Steelers have to win in order for the Steelers to get in. So I told him, but the point is, you know, there they were, hats, sweatshirts, you know. And you look at some of these ball games on TV this Sunday afternoon. Faces will be painted. I mean, they'll have headgear on. They will make an effort to root for their team. And knowing God and His Son takes effort. It takes a priority on our part. We have to someplace come to the place where we're willing to give Him priority in our life. Amen. Amen. And you know what the devil does? The devil tries to bring a crisis to us. As many crises or things that seem like a crisis, but they really aren't. And I found out a lot of times He'll even use our children. Huh? Because He knows how much we love them. Okay? But you know what? The best thing we can do for our kids is not try to solve all the problem, but spend a little more time with the Father. Amen. On their behalf. Amen? Amen? Because He is the one that has overcome in this life. Amen. Not us. Mm-hmm. Amen. But after you've prayed and after you've spent time with Him, then by all means do whatever's necessary to help Him. Amen. I don't recommend funding habits, okay? All right, let me keep going here. Let me get off your kids a minute. A lot to really get to meddling and say something about grandkids. I don't want to do that. Verse 4 says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And we all know that Proverbs 8, wisdom speaking in Proverbs 8 says, I was the most precious instrument of creation. God's wisdom. Jesus, before he was incarnate in the flesh, was God's instrument of creation. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. How did he do that? He spoke a word. God's wisdom went forth and created. The Apostle Paul. Now remember Paul. Don't get down on yourself because you don't have the revelation that Paul had. Paul got to spend 3 years on the backside of the Arabian desert with Jesus teaching him. So that's why Paul can write in Colossians that there wasn't anything made that wasn't made by him and for him. Because Jesus spent time with him teaching him. Amen. Wow, what a seminary that would have been. Get to heaven and say, hey, Paul, take me down here by the pearly gates and teach me what Jesus taught you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, I would have even... Polycarp, one of the first, he was a disciple of John the Beloved, John that wrote this book here. You know, I would have been great. You know, I would love to talk to Polycarp, because Polycarp was taught by John the Beloved, who laid his head at the breast of Jesus. Man, I wonder if it gets any better than that. Polycarp, what was John like? What did John say Jesus was like? So see, for me, I don't feel sorry for Paul being on the backside of the Arabian desert. He was with Jesus. Jesus was teaching him. You know what I believe? I believe if we'll spend time with Jesus, he'll teach us too. Yes, amen. Somehow, some way, we got to give him first place in our life. Amen. Amen. Yes. All right, let me keep going here. Verse 6. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. You know, some people believe that Jesus was just a good man, a good rabbi that taught Torah. Some people say, you know, he was just a good prophet. But the disciples believe that he was sent from God. Amen. He says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. How Jesus overcome? He was one with the Father. Amen. How are we going to overcome? We're going to have to be one with the Father and His Son. Amen. Let me keep going. He says, verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Talking about Judas there. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You know what? Joy. You've got to have joy. Now, Uncle George is really blessed because he's got joys. Okay. Now, let me read this again. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Jesus is praying to the Father that we might have his joy in our own lives. Amen. So to be an overcomer, I'm going to have his joy. Can I show you something you're not going to like? Huh? We're talking about the joy Jesus had. Okay? Now keep your finger right here. Or in my Bible, and some of you got a Bible like mine, there's a neat little thing, Madugal or whatever, Majigger there. You can mark that place. And turn with me, if you would, over to Hebrews. Hebrews, that's to the right, chapter 12. So Jesus is praying that we might have his joy fulfilled in our lives. Amen. And he was talking about being an overcomer. Then he's talking about that relationship with the Father and being one with the Father and one with the disciples. And now he's talking about he wants his joy to be in them. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross." What do you think that joy was? Salvation. For him? For us. So the joy that Jesus had was seeing you walk in his victory. Amen. Seeing you, seeing us in the 21st century, seeing his victory, the thing he did in the first century, continuing in our lives today.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that was the victory he saw.
Amen.
Amen. He was going to overcome death, hell, and the grave, and the shame of that death, in order that the Father might resurrect him. Then he would overcome the world. But the joy that was set before him, I believe, was seeing you and I walk in that victory some 2,000 years later.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what? There are situations in our lives that make us, we don't feel victorious, do we?
Amen.
We don't feel much like we're being overcomers. But you know what? The circumstance does not dictate whether you're in him or not. Amen. The circumstance might look rough, but the battle's already been won.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. I see too many people, and I've been guilty myself, when a crisis comes, when a difficulty comes, we turn to everything, we turn to all the knowledge we know.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Instead of turning to him. And I think if we're going to be overcomers in the world we're living in now, a world that's crazy, just look around you. One college this week came out, they're not allowed to use the word mankind now. They have to say humanity. They can't use the word man on their campus. That's crazy. You know, the craziest one was before you change that newborn's diaper, you got to ask them if they want their diaper changed.
Wow, that's crazy.
My guess is they've already answered the question, squalling, okay? I'm not making this stuff up. I'm serious. Or not referring to your child when it's born as a he or a she until they decide, when they're old enough to decide. I'm telling you, look around. The world's crazy. The world is crazy. And if we're going to overcome, we're going to have to walk in his victory. We're going to have his joy. Amen? And that joy is the fact that we are walking it victoriously. And seeing our church family walking victoriously. Amen? You know what? When Mike got saved, I don't know if I was ever that happy. The only time I can remember being that happy is when my children were born. You know, I mean, I was so happy. I've been asking that guy to come to church with me for years. You know, and daddy before you. You know, so when you're put in a position as a pastor, you know, you get to lead a lot of people to the Lord. The first person I ever led to the Lord was at the Kanawha County Jail with old Junior Totten. And Junior said, and I probably told this before, Junior told me, he said, listen, you just go with me, learn the ropes. I'll do the preaching tonight. I said, no problem. So we get there, we walk around the Kanawha County Jail. I mean, I'd never been in a jail like that before. I thought it was in a prison. And there was some mean, ugly, ornery looking characters, you know. And the meanest ones, they didn't get to come out of their cells. They was left in there. No, you ain't going. Oh, let me out go. No, you ain't going to church tonight. You know, then they'd let fly a few colorful words, you know, at the guard. But anyway, there's about 40 guys up there. And there was one guy, big muscle guy in a T-shirt, V-neck T-shirt, you know, white T-shirt. And he had his hair, he had long black hair, coal black hair. He had it all greased back, slick back, you know. I think he must have took a quart of oil. 10W40 weight to grease all them locks back there, you know, but he's got them all back. He's all tough guy. And Junior says, I got a friend of mine, Butch Deer from Ireton High. He's going to bring you the word tonight. That's not the conversation I had. You know. So, you know, you're supposed to be in season, out of season, but I was out of season at that moment. So he said, come on. And if you got to know Junior, I mean, Junior ain't going to take no for an answer. Come on, brother. You know, it's like, holy cow. And Junior was leading the singing that night. I had old boy pounding on the piano. And I'm pounding is exactly what he was doing. And Junior was leading us in an old hymn, you know. Junior couldn't sing any better than I could. So anyway, I get up there. And to tell you the truth, the only scripture I could think of was Luke 15 and the prodigal son. And I don't know what I said. I really don't know what I said. I can't remember what I said. I was as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. But what I do remember is there's about 10 guys got saved. And the one I remember the most was the guy that had the great big muscle-bound Italian-looking guy that had a quart of 10W40 weight on his head, because he got saved and he pulled me up into his chest and we cried. He cried. He snotted on me, and I'm sure some of that oil fell down on me, you know. But he danced me around in circles like this, you know. I can't do that. It hurts my shoulder. He danced me around in circles. My feet was just flopping around, you know. And I was hooked. This is the joy that was set before Jesus.
Amen.
To see people saved.
Amen.
See, you know, we've got to start seeing people as Jesus seen. In other words, you know, don't see the person that pulled in front of you and cut you off. Don't see that person that's really aggravated you as somebody that you need to give a piece of your mind to. See them as lost. See them as lost in need of Jesus. You know, a missionary helped me one day because I wrote my master's thesis on the spread of Islam. So I immersed myself in the good, the bad, and the ugly of the Muslim world. And for me, 99.9% was bad and ugly. Okay? But I had a missionary tell me one time, he said, yeah, I know all about Muslims. He said, but you've got to see them as a lost people group. Don't see them as your enemy. See them as a lost people group. So now when somebody aggravates me, and I almost talked about somebody the other day and I stopped myself. God stopped me. Because there's a guy, he just aggravates the fire out of me, and he just ain't no good. He can aggravate the fire out of my little brother, so I know he ain't no good. You know? Because you can aggravate me and make me mad. You got to really go above and beyond to make Gord mad. And I started to say something about that guy. I said, you know what? That guy, I'll tell you about that guy. He needs Jesus. That's all come out of my mouth. I know that was God. Yeah. He just needs Jesus. He needs a big dose of Jesus, but he needs Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So the joy that Jesus wants us to have is his joy. Yeah. Seeing other people overcome. Amen? Yeah. Seeing the kingdom expand.
Amen?
Amen? People are watching you. I put a lot of pressure on myself. I put a lot of pressure on myself telling you I was trying to lose weight. You know?
Yeah.
My sister needs to lose weight. I didn't tell her that, and don't you tell her that either. So I said, hey, sis, I'm going to try this plan out. You want to try it with me? No, you try it first. It works for you, then I might try. I don't need all that pressure. But people are watching how you act, you know. People want to see how you react to certain situations, how you react to pressure.
Yeah.
And so in 2019, I've kind of reeled myself in a little bit. I want to have the joy that Jesus had. I don't want people to be aggravated. I mean, I don't want to see people as people that aggravate me, and I don't want nothing to do with them. But I've done that. I'm guilty. Huh? See so-and-so coming, you're like, oh, I don't think they saw me. Huh?
Yeah.
Ever done that? Uh-huh. Especially if they're lost. We need to have a heart for people. Amen. We need to have the joy that Jesus had. And his joy came from expanding the Father's kingdom. Glory to God. When he saw what was set before him, his victory continuing 2,000 years later. Wow. That's a victory if you ask me. Amen. The Browns win today. They win today. But in 6 months, nobody will know they won today. Maybe 6 days. Nobody will care. You know? But Jesus' victory is still being celebrated 2,000 years later.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Bow your heads with me. Father, we love you and praise you this morning. We just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you most of all, Lord, for the victory that Jesus has provided us. And Father, help us this year, this 2019, to walk in that victory. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Deb, how about you and Bernie helping me today? Will you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know what it is about this thing, but standing up makes it hurt. Deal with him every day. Like a man purse to me, but I ain't gonna say.
By God, it is a man purse.
Think about that for a minute. Kind of an oxymoron there. Man purse.
You're not called a man purse, you might get in trouble.
That's true.
Yeah, you can't use man purse.
Purse. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this bread that we hold in our hand. We thank you, Father, that it represents the body of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you that for the joy set before you, you endured the cross. Help us to see humanity the same way you see us, Lord God. Help us to walk in your victory and to help others walk in that victory. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you for the Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, in remembrance of you this morning, the fact that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, you are the immerser, baptized in the Holy Spirit, that you are our high priest interceding for us right now, and that you are our soon coming King, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body. Hold your cup up. You ready? One, two, three. L'chaim to life. Life is in the blood. And at Calvary, the Lord Jesus poured out his life that we could be partakers of that life. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are obedient and willing to pour out your life. And we also know this cup represents the fourth cup in a Jewish betrothal ceremony, where the bride would drink of the cup, being very symbolic that she would remain faithful until he came, until the wedding was on. We know the bridegroom would not drink of that fourth cup until the night of the wedding. So Lord Jesus, as we are about to drink of the symbol of your life, we drink it as a token of our vow that we will remain faithful until you come. Take and drink. Thank you, Lord. Now, about the classes. E4N, our bishop, has asked me to teach a couple classes. And he wanted me to do it on a night there wasn't church. So that other people could watch. So I've agreed to try Tuesday night, starting January 29th, And if there's nobody else watching, we'll move them back to Wednesday for us, okay? But if there are people watching or other people that come, we'll keep them on Tuesday. And I was going to make it a 16-week class. I'll cut them down to 12 because there will be three or four Christian history classes because we probably will just get through the life of the apostles and possibly the book of Acts in the first one, okay? But there's a lot of... I just feel Christian history is something we lack. We don't know what happened, okay? I think it's something that's very important. And as we get in, you move past the first century, you get into the second century AD and the third century and the fourth century, you'll begin to see who the leaders of the church were and the doctrines they came up with, okay? And you'll begin to see that, hey, some of these church doctrines, okay, are actually man-made, not Bible-made, okay? But we have a lot of good, there's a lot of good men in our Christian history, okay? People, for instance, the Reformers, John Calvin, Martin Luther, those were great men, okay? And in some churches, they're revered. But, you know, they did have a major flaw, both of them. You know what that flaw was? They're anti-Semitic, very anti-Semitic, okay? And some of their teaching, like for the Lutheran church reveres Martin Luther. They named a church after Luther, okay? And some of his teachings has carried over into their church. Some of his anti-Semitic attitude is carried over in some churches. So, you know, those are things that are important to know. Amen? You'll learn when the Bible was printed, when it was written, when King James printed the Bible. You won't be stupid like that one woman who said, "You're not getting my King James for me. If it was good enough for Jesus, is it good enough for me?"
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't have the heart to tell her that King James is married between his two homosexual lovers.
What?
You know? Yeah. See? What? See, people don't know. People revere things they don't understand or don't know. It's just we have knowledge is power, and truth you know sets you free. Amen? So... But you know, while there's a lot of ugly and bad in our Christian history, there's a lot of good. Amen? So, and there was one other thing. Jackie mentioned a challenge.
Yes.
She likes a challenge.
I love a good challenge.
All right. Well, how about we give you 10 days to paint the outside of the church? That's not the challenge you were looking for, is it?
No,
weight loss challenge. You know, I don't know so much about challenge. Maybe we could do a challenge. But if there's somebody in here that you are serious about losing weight, maybe we could do it together. And if you want to try the Arbonne, you know, maybe you don't have the money, maybe we can help you. I said maybe. I don't know. You know, if you bring me 30 people that needs me to pay out $240 a pop for them, I'm going to say, probably not going to happen on my watch, okay? But... If we have enough people here in our church, they're interested. Yeah. Maybe we could do that.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, in the hour we live in, and I'm never going to come in here and tell you take this vitamin, that vitamin, you need to be healthy. But I will tell you this: having your energy level up is something that's necessary in the hour we live in. You know, especially if we're going to be a Christian, because I don't know how many times I've been grouchy at somebody just because I didn't feel good. And generally, I didn't feel good because I had ate a donut or two or three, and my sugar was out the roof, and all I wanted to do was be left alone, sleep it off, you know? So well, he's smiling. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. So, yeah. So anyway... you let me know if you're interested, and we'll see what we can do, and maybe we can start something here in mid-January. You know,
Don't nobody get all, you know, get your panties in a wad because you think that you got to be skinny to go to church here. No, that ain't it at all. Okay. All right.
Is there anybody who's interested in losing a little weight?
You can.
Okay, we know we can do better than what we're doing.
Well, let's just. You see Jackie. Pray about it and see.